I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And let's get started.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and me, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah!
It's a little weird because part of me feels like now that we're gone from spring training, that it just stopped.
Yeah, they stopped. They're probably pretty upset this morning when they went by the little room we were in. They didn't see us there.
Poke their heads and where are those
guys?
Where are
those guys? I like those guys ambling around
here.
Keeping
things fun out here.
Yeah.
But actually, spring training does continue.
Life goes on without Ben and Woods, I guess.
Already have a lineup out for today's game against the Angels.
Already? Look at that.
If you're interested.
I am interested.
Probably the biggest headline from the lineup is the number three hitter, designated hitter today, Brian Dozier.
I thought you were going to say Tommy Pham, but no. I'll take Brian Dozier.
No Tommy Pham yet in the lineup. I saw a report maybe Friday. Tomorrow is the day for Tommy Pham.
What time is the game today?
Today's game is, again, noon, our time, 12:10. Trent Grisham, Greg Garcia, Brian Dozier, Jason Vossler at first base, Francisco Mejia behind the plate, Gordon Beckham, Juan Lagares, Taylor Trammell, Castillo at short. Which Castillo is that? Jose's the pitcher, right?
Yes. That would be fun if they put a left-handed reliever
at short. And then Morejon is going to be the pitcher
okay.
to start.
Yeah, he's another one of those guys. Is he a starter? Is he a reliever? Where's he going to fit? I mean, there's like 100 of those dudes with this team. Who's the first baseman again?
Jason Vossler. We saw him.
We did see him a little bit.
A little bit while we were out there.
Yeah.
You feeling okay?
Yeah,
no symptoms
I'm all right.
yet.
I'm all right so far.
From your trip back yesterday,
I feel like such a whiny. I feel whiny, but like we do want to share the good and the bad. And if we're putting up Fernando Tatis interviews and Mackenzie Gore interviews and AJ Preller interviews, I want to share with you the other part of the trip too. The business side of the trip was phenomenal. Couldn't have gone better. I mean, really, and it's really the only thing that should matter. But the personal side, the accommodations, the distance from our hotel to the, you know, all that stuff. And then the guy, of course, yesterday on the plane, sneezing and snotting on my leg. That was awful. That really was not a good experience. It was not fun.
Well, I've been working behind the scenes over here. Can't stay too late today. I got some things I got to do. So I've been working on getting all our flubs from the week.
Yes.
I was making notes while we were out in Arizona. It's going to be a good one tomorrow.
Tomorrow, at the end of the show.
Wait.
Yeah. We've added, how many would you say? Six.
I got a few more in me, I think.
Oh, yeah. You've already had a couple today.
Yeah, the two of you who got to go home after the flight yesterday.
Dude.
I went straight to work.
A lot of Padres fans have said, hey, can we lock Fernando Tatis Jr. up long term already?
Fernando Tatis.
Fernando Tatis.
And again, it's happening so often. I missed that one entirely. Our beloved Ben and Woods tier
ones. Fernando Tatis.
They are now listening, Ben, with such a keen ear, which, by the way, makes you spin out a little bit more.
Of course. I think about that a lot now.
I know, dude. They do. They get in your dome. It's great.
So you're feeling okay.
I feel fine, man. I really was excited to get up and come to work this morning, man, because, you know, it's hard. I like being in the studio. This is such a great environment here that they've created for us. John Entercom, got to thank him. He does a great job as the CEO of Entercom, go figure. And this studio is phenomenal. It's comfortable. Got our computer here.
They fixed the thermostat while we were gone.
Feels
as
good.
Well, it is
yeah.
no longer 78 degrees in here.
Feels so good.
Nice and chilly, which the way I like it, perfect for me. And I also want to thank Paul for his apology this morning.
Yeah.
We were all in E seats, middle seats on the way back, just part of our fun travel experience.
Our boss, Adam, he should really be a travel agent. Just set up dream vacations for couples and stuff. Paul, you're getting married. No, let me finish. Paul, you're getting married. What say Adam just plans your honeymoon for you? You and Megan end up in Toledo at a Comfort Inn, probably. Quality Inn, Comfort Inn, one of the
Motel
inns.
Motel 6 in beautiful tropical Barstow.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm sending you guys to Florida. I'm sending you to Destin, Florida. How about that, fellas and lady?
It is amazing that we could all end up. It wasn't like Southwest and we forgot to check in. It was American. And yet somehow we all ended up with middle seats is what they assigned us.
It's probably a dollar less than the aisles and the other ones.
It was the biggest plane I've ever been on. There was 500 seats.
It was massive. They changed planes, right? And they went from because again, it is a 48 minute flight. So that's why you're like, all right, I'll just sit in the middle seat. No big deal. It's really not a big deal. The plane was so massive. So massive. And all three of us get stuck in the middle. It was just it was insane. And Paul's seat was reclined
Paul was
on your knees.
I was in 21E right behind him. And I noticed from the very beginning, okay, Paul's seat is back. Now, I know he didn't put it back.
Right. It was back.
His armrest was up, which is another weird thing as well. I mean, it gives you more room, but if you don't know the people next to you, I like the buffer of the armrest, you know, establishing what real estate is mine on the airplane.
Well, the guy sitting next to me, I needed a partition between us because he snotted on my leg once again.
But Paul had his armrest up. He was, like, getting cozy with the people next to him. They were just cuddling up with each other.
Fell asleep.
So I know he was down from the very beginning of the flight. And I'm looking at the back of his head the whole time, and I can't help but think about that viral video. I got my phone out twice thinking, all right, I'm going to start taping.
Why didn't you? That would have been genius.
Well, because there's two people next to me,
and
they're going to go like, what is this idiot
doing?
They don't know we know each other. All of a sudden, we've got an incident. They've called the TSA. The air marshal is going to get involved, and this is the last thing I want at the end of a trip.
Ben gets dragged off the plane.
I had my phone.
I saw the sports guy from Channel 10.
Oh, yeah. Ben Higgins just beating
twice,
this guy.
Twice I had my phone out, ready to hit record, and just start going, boom, 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 on the back of Paul's seat if he wasn't going to put his seat back upright. So I figured, at least at the end of the flight. I mean, it's a short flight, so you start descending 30 minutes after you take off. At least they're going to come by and ask him, sir, can you put your seat back up? So I know that relief is coming momentarily. They come by, they're collecting all service items up and down the aisle, and here comes the flight attendant, looks right at Paul, goes, sir, you're going to need to put your seat back upright. I'm going, thank goodness. Paul's got his earbuds in. He's just oblivious. They walk off. They don't enforce the policy. So all the way into San Diego.
That ain't on me.
Landing, seat back, still reclined. All the way, the entire flight in front of me.
I saw them walk by and mouth something in my general direction. But because I didn't do anything, I'm like, well, they're not talking to me. So I just left my earbuds in. Thought they were talking to the guy next to me. Because
you.
Our seats, I thought all our seats were even. And yeah, no, they were talking to me. But that's on them for not enforcing that policy. Had I reclined it, which I would never do, then I'd be like, oh, they're probably telling me, hey, put the seat up.
Yeah, and it makes
you. Why didn't you tap me on the shoulder? I would have immediately.
He's too nice.
I'm
you
too
know
nice.
That.
I am. I'm too nice.
Didn't want to bother you.
I thought you were sleeping. I was just like, I'm going to wake him up for half an extra inch of leg room. Is that really what I want to do in this situation?
It does make you appreciate so much being home and being back in San Diego. I mean, it's just landing here, getting off the plane. The guy that was sitting next to me with the snot and the coughing and the sneezing the whole time. He walked out in front of me, up the ramp. Bro, I swear, I had to calm myself down, but I almost just kicked him right in his ass. As he was walking up, he was like struggling to get his backpack on, walking up the ramp, and I almost just went, hey. And
we're sitting there at baggage claim. You're like, there he is.
There he is. There he is.
I'm going to hold me back. Hold me back.
God bless, dude. I'm telling you, like, I don't know what it is, but look, I understand.
Haven't we all been somewhat sick on a plane before, though? You cancel all your plans because you come down with a cold?
Ride a bus.
That's even
Take
better.
Take a bus.
Great.
The other thing that happened yesterday. Oh, my God. So there was a guy in the skinniest sweatpants you've ever seen. I mean, as tapered down to his little ankles as you've ever seen. Beard, skull cap. It was 1,000 degrees in the Phoenix airport, by the way. It's Phoenix. He's got his skull cap on, perfectly manicured beard, tight shirt. Well, he gets on, he's in about row 8. Well, there was no room for his bag, so he had to put his bag in row 20.
Ugh.
Flight lands. Guess who starts making their way back down the aisle to get his bag while everyone else is going in the opposite direction?
Shuffle. Excuse me.
Yeah,
excuse
he's the salmon swimming upstream. Another reason why salmon are terrible. He's swimming upstream. We're all trying to get up. And he's like, with his little Encinitas beanie on, 1,000 degrees outside.
Don't bring Encinitas into this.
And sure enough, man, like, so here's the rule. It's set right here in stone on this show today. If you want to carry your bag on and you don't get to put it in your row or a row in front of you, you sit and rot until everybody else is off. Then you walk your happy ass back, grab your bag, and deplane. All right? Other than that, check your bag. Or you have to wear it. You cannot go against the grain while everybody else is trying to get out and get off and go do what they have to do because they planned ahead and found, you know, space above them. Dude, it's not your birthday, buddy. It's not your fun day. You get to come back and just disrupt everybody. Dude, be kind, be considerate of other travelers. Let's be better. Let's be better. Don't snot on people. Don't go against the grain.
Okay, if you are sick, you really should be very careful. Lots of tissues, lots of looking the other direction, sneezing. You know, pull your shirt out, pull it out.
Wipes, yeah. You know, I turned into my mom. I've got friggin' wet wipes in my bag, and every time I'm rocking back and forth. Just like, oh my God, get me out of here. I've turned into that guy.
Can I tell one more story from the trip before we get to don't do this?
Absolutely.
So we're on the rental car shuttle after returning our rental car. By the way,
very proud of this story.
The gas.
He's very proud of this.
He's probably got this person calling in to congratulate
him. He is very proud of the story. Unbelievable.
Of course, we somehow paid $4 a gallon for gas in Arizona, where it's supposed to be $2.50, but we have to, you know, fill up the rental car.
We found one gas station.
We get on the bus, and you know, Paul and Woods were standing in the aisle, and Paul and Woods are discussing adult baseball. Paul's got his first game coming up, and
Saturday.
Woods is asking, you got all the equipment, you need everything you need. Paul said, I got most of it. I need to pick up some pine tar. And I just, as I usually do, I said, I've got some pine sol if you need it. And they, of course, didn't laugh at all.
Didn't, so, I just ignored him.
10 minutes later, we finally get to the terminal, get off with our bags.
Yep.
So this kind of middle-aged woman gets off and has to actually stop me and go, I snorted out loud at your pine sol joke. That was so funny, and I'm beaming.
I said, don't encourage him. Please. It's Pine Sol.
How old was she?
50. That's your demo.
She actually had to stop me and tell me.
50-year-old women.
That's your demo. 50-year-old moms. It's your demo.
He was so proud.
He said it to me, Paul, and I didn't even respond.
I didn't even think it was that funny.
We just kept going.
Ma'am, thank you so much. Yeah, you made my day.
He was very proud of his pine sol joke.
It's nothing. It was a throwaway line.
It still is a throwaway
made
line.
Made my day and her day. Two people delighted. Two people not so delighted.
Amazing.
Don't You're do incredible. This is coming up next, Woodsy.
Yeah, I've got a guy I got a story out of the combine. One of the grossest things you've ever heard.
And my story has to do with the Kobe Bryant Memorial. People are the worst. It's coming up next with Ben and Woods. Right now, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Not the worst. Here's Kelly Danick.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Why?
With Ben and Woods.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
That is outrageous.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, before we get to our three stories that make you shake your head, we have a biggest fan prize to give away this hour. Coming up in just a little while, we'll call out the name of our biggest fan. Then they'll have 10 minutes to call back, be entered into our grand prize drawing. Coming up in just a couple of days here, one of two Las Vegas trips to see Shania Twain at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino, along with a two-night stay dinner at Cafe Hollywood. Now, if we don't call your name, keep listening, because if the biggest fan doesn't call in, you can steal that prize later in the show. 7 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m. hours each day here on The Fan 97.3. All right, Don't Do This, sponsored by Scripps MD Anderson Cancer Center, making cancer history in San Diego, and I turn things over to my co-host, Stephen Woods. for story number one.
Thank you, Ben. Would you ever complain? Would you ever complain to the FCC about anything? Would you ever complain to anybody? You never complain. I'm a complainer, but I just like to complain on Twitter.
First of all, even if I was highly offended by something I saw on my television, I'm just not going to bother going to the trouble. Because,
wouldn't you just turn the channel again?
Well, like, you find an email, a phone number to call in where you're going to get an automated line at
people
best.
People were very mad at the heckler, and they were even more mad at me for interviewing him.
That is true.
And then, you know, even once you get through, no one's probably going to listen to it. If they do, they're not going to do anything about it. It's just a massive waste of time and shows that you're
a bit of a Karen,
right?
You're
not a good sport. You're not willing to acknowledge, hey, what may be a little too much for me is probably really entertaining for other people.
Well, I'm going to read you one of the complaints to the FCC from probably Karen, and I'm going to guess Kansas. It says, the halftime show last night, of course, talking about the halftime show at the Super Bowl. Halftime show last night was beyond inappropriate. Shakira lying on her side, gyrating like sex. Gyrating like sex, by the way. Lopez on a stripper pole. Lopez bending over to expose her butt crack. Both performers grabbing their jeans. Shakira grinding her butt against some tinfoil wearing man's PP. This was incredibly offensive. My children were watching. Karen, turn the station. Turn it off. I was watching a movie with Bo the other day. Now, the language doesn't really bother me so much, but I don't need him to be seeing gratuitous sex scenes at 2 years old. You know what I did? I turned the channel. I didn't write HBO. Like, I chose to watch that. No one is
research.
You're not tied to your chair. They got 1,312 people that wrote into the FCC.
All named Karen, by the way.
All named Karen, by the way.
Like 100 million people who watched the Super Bowl.
Some people were so pissed, they said they're done watching football. That was a disgusting display allowed of something that our children can't unsee. Strip clubs that have crap with sluts performing like this, this is soft porn. Find the NFL or stop the halftime shows. Beyond inappropriate. Honoring a dog killer, now this. Boycotting the NFL.
Wow, a little Michael Vick smack.
He's like, what do I do? I do not subscribe to the Playboy channel. We do not buy porn for $20 a flick. We simply, probably use your internet like everybody else. We simply want to sit down as a family and watch the Super Bowl. God forbid we expected to watch football and a quick concert, but instead had our eyes molested. A family from Tennessee wrote. They have their eyes molested. Gyrating like sex.
This is, by the way, like our family drive time.
Yeah, this is drive time.
Segment.
Hey, listen.
Everybody's driving their kids.
Great.
To
now Adam's going to get emails about me.
FCC some complaints about Ben and Woods.
Yeah, gyrating like sex. Ben Higgins.
On the radio.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Woods actually does do that.
Carnal relation. I do what?
See it.
Gyrate like sex?
You do that all the time.
That's true. Gyrating like sex. So good.
All right, to me, this story is just what Don't Do This is all about.
Yeah.
It's something that if you're aware, if you understand what's appropriate and what's not, you would never do this. People are trying to cash in on the Kobe Bryant death.
God, shocker.
You know, people who went to the memorial are trying to sell memorabilia, you know, programs, things they got at Staples Center on eBay. One shirt that was sold for like $2,025. Good for eBay. They have decided to enforce their policy against profiting off human tragedy or suffering and are trying to pull all these Kobe Bryant memorial items off their website so people can't, like, profiteer from the death of Kobe Bryant, which just seems you shouldn't have to say anything, right? That's wrong. It's not baseball card collecting. It's a program from a memorial service, not something you should be selling on the internet.
I can't imagine what goes into your mind. But again, you know, my aunt was in New York during 9/11, lived there, was kind of pretty close to the scene. And a couple weeks later, the guy's down there selling, you know, trinkets and pieces of the buildings. I mean, just as awful as it could be. And she actually, like, flipped out at one, started screaming at him. Yeah, 100%. This is pretty nasty. I, of course, thought of Hammer for a couple reasons here on our final Don't Do This story. A guy named Ben Bartsch. He is a D3 football player from St. John's University in Minnesota. Hammer, you were D3 or 2?
2.
Hammer's D2.
Totally two. You look at him. Look at does that look like a D3 football player
pipes.
To you?
Look at those pipes.
It screams D2 out
well,
there.
So Ben Bartsch was he was an offensive lineman, but he wasn't always an offensive lineman. Ben, he was a tight end and thought, man, I think I can do more on the offensive line. But he had to gain a tremendous amount of weight to get on the offensive line. Again, I've never found that job that was, hey, you need to put on 30 pounds. Like, it would be so fun to do. Then you read this. You want to know how he did it? This is how he did it. Every day, he ate this. All right. His shake that he drank in the morning. 7 scrambled eggs, cottage cheese, quick grits, peanut butter, bananas, and Gatorade. Throw it all in, blend it, and drink it. Again, 7 scrambled eggs, cottage cheese, grits, peanut butter, bananas, and Gatorade.
Okay,
to round it out.
The Gatorade is actually what I think is the weirdest item.
What about the cottage cheese?
What flavor?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. There's no flavor
that
tastes good.
It matters which flavor of Gatorade you're putting with scrambled eggs and peanut butter.
None work. None flavor.
Fruit punch?
There is no. Nothing works.
I can't see lemon lime working, though. Is it one of those clear, maybe a berry flavor? I have no idea.
Put it down on a plate and eat it, and that's semi-normal. Drink it, you know, chase it with a Gatorade. To blend it all in a blender hammer, could you get that down? He says yes, he won't.
Another hammer smoothie.
Another hammer
smoothie
challenge.
When is this happening?
Yeah,
when is this
happening? Tomorrow. Radio 101, my friend. But that is don't do this, and that is just filthy. Wouldn't you just eat In-N-Out like a bunch?
Yeah, but that's not the high protein. That's too much. That's not what they want you to do. That's why cottage cheese, it's good, kind of low-fat cottage cheese, protein, eggs, protein, peanut butter. It's got all those things that you want to bulk up without it just going like right to your hips or wherever you don't want it to be. Although an offensive lineman, hips
your
is probably.
Hips.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Gyrate like sex.
That was Don't Do This on a Thursday. We have the coach, Jim Herrick Jr., joins us each and every week, usually on Wednesday, but since we were out at spring training yesterday, we pushed him back to a Thursday to talk Aztecs. Where they stand with one game left in the regular season, 27-1, but certainly a concerning last couple of games. We'll see what the coach, Jim Herrick Jr., has to say about San Diego State as we have March Madness just a couple of weeks away. That is coming up next year with Ben and Woods right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
I have never ever seen Ben Higgins laugh harder than he did.
Sorry,
while
this,
we were on
the greatest. Who knows if this is real
history.
Or not? But
it can't be real,
it came
right?
Across my timeline right now, and I could not stop laughing. I like Ed Sheeran, by the way. I think he's a
shocker,
pretty decent performer.
Paul, save that.
But
I like Ed Sheeran,
yeah,
by
no,
the
this
way.
Tweet came out. It's an Ohio, Portsmouth, Ohio. It looks,
this can't be real. It
looks like
cannot.
One of those police releases. Fugitive alert. The Fugitive Task Force is looking for Ronnie Williams Jr. of Scioto-ville for fraud. He has convinced 3 local churches that he is Ed Sheeran.
Oh, my God.
And even went as far as performing The Shape of You in front of Christ Community Church last Sunday. When the pastor was asked why he believed the real Ed Sheeran would perform for $35 in a sandwich, he said he just assumed he fell on tough times.
Look at him.
It's shocking.
I'm sorry, Ed Sheeran is still one of the biggest stars in the world. $35. Can I get a Subway turkey and cheese?
So,
with that too?
So if you're passable, because again, think about it. 3 churches, 3 bought into this scam. If you're passable as Ed Sheeran and you can grab a guitar and sing that god awful song, wouldn't you charge more? Like, wouldn't you scam them more? Than I would let him go. $35 in a sandwich, I'd probably give it to him by someone on the street. $35. If you're going to do it, go big.
The
like,
picture is just amazing.
The picture is astounding. I mean, it is. I retweeted it from at Ben and Woods. There he is. I mean, look. And you know, Corey made the point. Our buddy Corey Stewart's in here hanging out with us today. Corey said, yeah, it looks like Ed Sheeran if he actually fell on hard times. I mean, and so
really hard times.
Like really, 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 if he stayed at our hotel for like 3 weeks, I mean, that we stayed in.
No, he did like 20 years
20
of
years.
Meth in the last 5 months.
It is. Ben was so tickled pink at that story. I mean, it's It's passable.
That is one of the great. It is social media. We all know is awful.
Yes,
but that occasional ability to delight you like that, where you're not expecting it, you just run across something that makes you laugh, tickles your fancy.
I love when you get tickled. Now, of course, I never tickle you, but that is.
Well, now you know how to do it.
Now I know how to do it.
That's exactly how to tickle my fancy.
That's the first time I ever heard that Ed Sheeran song, by the way.
We are going to hear from the coach, Jim Herrick Jr. I actually chatted with him early this morning because he was catching up on a flight. But Aztecs coming off a loss and a very narrow win over Colorado State. Cause for concern. We'll get to that right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan with Kelly Danick. The coach, Jim Herrick Jr., is back with us. Coach, are you concerned with what you saw the last week from the Aztecs?
Coach, will you settle him down in here? He is like, he's about ready to pack it in for the entire rest of the season. Just tell him to relax a little bit. These things happen.
Right. No. Hey, Ben and Woods, great to be with you always. You know, he's got a point.
Damn it.
I have to say, as a coach, we have paralysis by analysis. We overanalyze everything as coaches, as media guys, and you know, you try to stay on the positive. And I can tell Brian Dutcher that didn't come out as really as confident as I thought he had. Couple things. I thought, you know, in my opinion, I thought they looked really tired against UNLV. I thought they came in. I don't know if they were overlooking them. I don't know if they walked in thinking we've been rolling everybody, we're going to roll everybody. But I don't know much. I'm a 2-6 from Pepperdine, but I know Brian Dutcher knows this. Every team's gunning for him. If you can knock off San Diego State, if the feather in your cap, if you got nothing else to play for, like UNLV, like Colorado State, they're coming after you. I'm going to give them one slight of an excuse in the fact of whoever arranged the banner memorial, raising the banner, the Mountain West banner high above Viejas before the UNLV game, bad idea. Really bad idea.
Dutch says that was him. Now, it could have come from above, and Dutch is just being a good head coach, but he said he wanted to let the seniors enjoy that moment as opposed to, you know, graduating and not being there for it when they traditionally do that the first game the following season.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, a lot of that times those decisions are not made by Brian Dutcher. They're made by a lot of people that are raising money, selling tickets, and I get that, but the last thing you want to do, you're telling your team, hey, we got to stay sharp. We got to be razor focused. These teams are coming after us, and we've beat them once. We're at home. You know, your kids think they're going to roll. And you know, the hardest thing to do is get your kids up for 30 nights a year to get them to play, especially late February when their eyes are on March going, you know, everybody's been talking about a one seed. They're patting them on the back. And now you raise a banner, and UNLV's going over there, sitting over there going, hey, fellas. Are you seeing? Are they rubbing this in our face? Now wait a second, and you know, unfortunately, it was a tough game, tight game, and Colorado State shot the dog out of it. And I say that they look tired, and I say that only because defensively, it's the two games I've seen them that the opposing team's gotten any shot they've wanted, and that hasn't been them all year as far as defensively and breakdown defensively and open shots. And so, you know, you worry sometimes that this time of year your kids are tired and your legs are tired.
We are talking to Jim Herrick Jr., our NCAA hoops analyst here on Ben and Woods, as we do every week. And, Coach, listen, sometimes the ball just doesn't go in. And that's been, you know, the Aztecs have shot so well this year, and like you mentioned, the defense. But when you got players on a cold streak like that, what is your advice to them? Is it just keep shooting, come get to the gym early and just shoot?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not. You know, a lot of times it's just the opposite. Less is more because you've been going so hard for so long since September, and you know, you tee your practices. You know, a lot of great coaches, and Dutch knows this, that they're probably not practicing more than an hour. You know, your scatter reports, you tell your assistant coaches, and which I got told a lot. Hey, you got instead of the half hour usually, you got 10 minutes. You know, we're not digesting all this, but. You know, shooters always shoot, and the thing about shooters is your legs. You know, I don't know, you know, they say that about, you guys know, pitchers and their arms and 5 days rest, or, you know, athletes. But with shooters, it's always about their legs. And if they're coming off their legs and they're practicing and the shots aren't falling, it's about getting shots up, but it's also about getting your legs under you. And you hear, you know, the LeBron James and the pros talk about it. You know, I didn't have my legs tonight. And everything starts with your legs when it comes to your jumpers. And they haven't shot it well the last two games. And you know, you worry about that. And I'm sure you take an extra day off or you cut practice down to get that in. But you know, Malachi knows how to shoot. He didn't just lose his shooting touch this week. So did Matt Mitchell. And you know, so if it's legs, you know, then I attribute that to just physical, not mental.
Despite the loss, despite the near loss to Colorado State, the bracketologists still have San Diego State as a one seed. Maybe just as much because the teams behind them. Duke lost again this week.
Yeah.
Maryland lost.
Yeah.
They almost lost again last night. They had to pull one out of the fire against Minnesota. What are you seeing here in terms of like the seedings near the top and where San Diego State kind of sits, how tenuous their hold is with one game left in the regular season?
Well, a lot of teams try to play their way in on the bubble. You know, we always talk about when you're in, you're trying not to play your way out or down. And that's why you try to keep your team razor sharp. You know, they could certainly lose a couple and fall into the two slot, you know, based on the commitment. Everyone else is losing. You know, Gonzaga got beat at BYU. You know, like you said, Maryland had they were down like 10 at Minnesota last night. And, you know, you look at the ones and the two seeds, and Dayton's had a bunch of close ones that, you know, they're penciling them into the two. You know, I don't think this, you know, the Duke team does it for me this year as far as weapons and what they have to be a solid two. And maybe they slip to a three, but, you know, if San Diego State can win out and win the tournament, then I think they're a solid one. Should they stumble one and then maybe lose to, you know, a rejuvenated, you know, UNLV team, Boise State team, you know, College State now that thinks that they can beat them. You know, do they move to a two? Yeah, but at the end of the day, I don't think there's much difference between one and two. I mean, you're getting a 15, 16 seed or a play-in game, and your second one's always – but then it's on. The second game is always going to be tough, and then, you know, it's on to the Sweet 16. So, you know, I know Dutch – the priority is to stay in the West, and with the Zags losing – I just see them being a one. If Gonzaga can run the table in the WCC, and which now they haven't, and they're still a one seed, then San Diego State should be a one seed in the West.
Last thing, Coach, Nevada. Obviously, San Diego State beat them at Viejas earlier this season. I haven't watched a ton of them though. They're second in the conference, 12 wins. Steve Alford certainly having a pretty decent first season as their head coach. How scary is this game for him up in Reno on Saturday?
Oh, I think it's a. I wouldn't put it a must win, but you certainly don't want to slip up at Reno and lose two of three. You know, they're playing better. I know they had a close one at Wyoming, but I haven't seen a lot of them. I only saw them once, and it was at Christmas. And but you know, he's obviously doing a good job, and has always done a good job. And you know, San Diego State's going to have the target on their back, and you get a chance to play the fourth seed team late in February on your home court, and. You know, you're trying to get in. He's trying to tell his kids, hey, if we knock them off, we got a chance to, you know, to maybe get in and get seated. And so they're gunning for, you know, everybody's gunning for them. And so this is going to be a tough game. It's a tough stretch until they get to the Mountain West Tournament.
Coach, as always, a pleasure. We will chat with you again next week as we tip off the Mountain West Tournament in Las Vegas early this year. But as always, appreciate your time.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, Coach Jim Herrick Jr. on our SDCCU fan hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU4U or visit SDCCU.com. Yeah, Aztecs have only, Woodsy, had five games all season decided by six or fewer points. In case Mud Grant is listening. Got to make sure I get my fewer or less than correct.
Right.
But six or fewer points, including those last two games against UNLV and Colorado State. So close games. Coach Dutcher says we're going to play close games in the tournament. There's no way around that. So might as well get used to it in these last few. Trying to pull one out. And they did against Colorado State. They weren't at their best. Didn't make their shots for the most part, but got hot enough when they had to find a way to win games. And that is a skill. That's an important skill in college basketball. Winning when you're not at your best is key.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention because someone just sent me an article, Ben, about a Florida hospital employee that was arrested for allegedly sucking elderly patients' toes. Since we're doing funny headlines.
Ed Sheeran bits.
Ed Sheeran bits. He, yeah, there's a mugshot and the whole thing. That is.
As much as I love college basketball and I love March Madness.
Toe sucking, you like more?
No.
This is quite the transition here.
I'm trying to plow through here is what I'm doing. Because you don't even find
that
story amusing.
How old were the patients? Like what elderly, story? Elderly?
The toe-sucking story.
I just find it hideous.
You're just jumping in because I jumped in with a story a minute ago.
Yeah, I just find it hideous.
And you feel the need to now try to one-up me.
No,
was he
no.
a doctor? Did he work there or
they
did he sneak
there.
In?
They worked there. He's a sitter at a Florida hospital. Sucking a sleeping patient's toes. Anyway, back to March Madness.
How old was the patient?
65 years old.
Oh, my God.
I love March Madness. College football is getting worse and worse.
Come on.
So, yesterday,
what a transition.
Yesterday, they announced the official debut coming up this season of the L.A. Bowl. You hear about this?
I did not.
So it's the new bowl. They're going to play it up at the SoFi Stadium in Inglewood. It's now the prize, basically. If you're a San Diego State, you're Brady Hoke now. And your team has a great season. You win the Mountain West. That's now your reward. The number one team from the Mountain West will now play in the L.A. Bowl. So you get to drive up the freeway, 405, joy, and play against the number five team in the Pac-12 as your big postseason.
I mean, better than El Paso, isn't it? Better than Frisco?
It was the Las Vegas Bowl.
Okay, Vegas is
they
fine.
Got kicked out of that, though, because they're moving into the new Raiders stadium, and they thought, well, we don't want a Mountain West team. You know, sullying our new stadium. So they got kicked out of the Las Vegas Bowl. It's hard for me to believe that you win the conference and your reward is to get to play a fifth place team from another conference.
Mount West, what should it be?
There should be some sort of playoff at the end of the year that allows other teams to get in other than just...
There is a playoff at the end of the
not
year.
Not one that allows a Mountain West team to ever get in.
That's exactly right. So the problem necessarily isn't really with the L.A. Bowl per se. It is with the Mountain West Conference. I mean, look, it's not a great football conference. There's no other way to say it. It's not a powerhouse conference.
But it's not
a Power 5. I mean, it's... You're telling me that they should be, you
but
know.
But they have no opportunity because of the way college football is set up. They will never be a great conference.
But, you know, listen, if you're going to go.
The deck is stacked against them.
But here's the deal, though, Benny. If you're San Diego State and you get to play in the L.A. Bowl, isn't that better than going and playing a game in New Mexico or El Paso
sure.
or Frisco?
I mean, that's the big prize now.
That's a bigger prize.
You avoid New Mexico or the Potato Bowl in Boise. And you get to go to Los Angeles. Yeah, but I'm saying that should not be the biggest prize available to a college football team. At the very least, can they not play the second or third place team from the Pac-12? It has to be the fifth place team? That's like a slap in the face right there. We feel like your best team is worthy of our fifth place team at the end of the season.
Yeah.
It's a slap in the face. And they've set up college football as the haves and the have-nots, and I don't see how that can continue for more than a few more years.
Yeah, but
people are seeing through this sham of the power conferences and then the non-power conferences in college football.
Well, I actually forgot about college football when I was talking about things, sports that are reticent to change. College football may be the most, even more so than baseball. It's really tough to get, you know, a lot of wholesale changes in college football, Benny.
It is weird, the different sports and how some are willing to evolve and others...
NBA being number one.
Stick their feet in the mud and do not want to change. Now, college football finally, kicking and screaming, created the BCS in the late 1990s. And for a year or two, it's like, well, okay, at least this is better than it was. But then they realized, okay, but there's a lot of problems here. This mathematical formula, the rankings, the voting, it doesn't quite work. Oh, but we're stuck. We have to do that for 12 years without changing it because, well, we don't change things in college football. Then they finally get around to creating the college football playoff, the four-team playoff. And it's like, okay, finally, this is better. And it was. After a couple of years, though, we realized, how can you have a four-team playoff when there are five power conferences and each champion's going to say, well, obviously, we deserve to be in the playoff. You're going to leave someone out every year, not to mention at-larges like Notre Dame or a second SEC school on given years, and there's no equitable way to do it. Yet, the obvious solution, let's go to an 18 playoff at least. we're just sitting here waiting. Oh, we got to do this for another 7 years before we can even think about making some sort of change in college football. And they just don't want to do it. Yet, you know, the NFL will tinker with the rules.
Yeah, we'll see.
Replay. They've even added, I mean,
they're adding playoffs.
Finally,
yeah. Baseball
added some replay. They're talking about electronic strike zones. There has
expanded
been
playoffs.
There has been at least some thought of modernizing other sports. College football definitely seems to be one of those, just does not want to evolve
that
at
is,
all.
That probably is the number one sport that it's just the hardest to get anything done in. The red tape, you know, really created by the NCAA, which is, it's just so hard to get through. It's so hard to get around. And listen, I mean, we make the point every year when it's Aztec football time is, listen, this team can go out and rip off, you know, 11 wins, 100 to nothing. And, you know, they're not going to be in the hunt for a national title.
I think part of it, and this is just me, you know, spitballing here, but the NFL has a lot of revenue sharing. When teams are financially equal, there's incentive then to make the sport as good as possible. Like, okay, we're all on a level playing field. We all spend the same amount. We all make about the same amount. Let's maximize now that total number of viewers,
sure,
total number of fans by making our game as good as possible. In college football, where you have big haves and big have-nots, guess what the haves want? I don't want to change this at all. Any change is probably going to come out of my pocket and go into someone else's pocket. So they're the ones who are stubborn. You got the bowl games that, hey, you know, we're making good money. We've got a TV deal. We don't want to see a playoff. That's just going to, you know, lessen the impact of our game. So you've got all these vested interests that don't want to see the game get any better. And that's a problem. Sports with a lot of parity, a lot of financial sharing, league revenue sharing. The more revenue sharing we've seen in baseball lately, guess what? The more advances in the game. We've seen things happen to try to bring the game into the 21st century when you didn't have the revenue sharing, you didn't have the luxury tax, you didn't have much change in baseball because teams like the Yankees, frankly, didn't want anything to change. It was going really well for them, and they would try to stop things like that.
Yeah, it's imagine if other sports had like what happens in college with boosters. You know, you could boost. Hey, I love the Mets. I'm going to give the Mets $6 million or something. You know, college athletics are, they're a lot dirtier than even we know, and we know they're dirty. We know they're dirty, but they're a lot dirtier than we could have ever imagined.
So I pull for Brady Hoke and the Aztecs and their football program. I would like to see them do well. I would like to see them have success as they build a new stadium.
Well, you'd like to see them in the L.A. Bowl, Ben.
And it'll be fun once. And then after that, it'll be like, okay, they've done the L.A. Bowl. What's next? What's next for this team? And I continue to worry, and I've said this before, doesn't matter if you get a new stadium. Doesn't matter if you sell out a new stadium. If you're stuck in the Mountain West in a have-not conference, there's no future for San Diego State football.
Yeah.
There isn't. They must find a way to get out of the Mountain West, at least in football, and into one of those power schools.
Got to.
One of those power conferences.
They
have to. I think they know that. They, you know, J.D. Wicker will always put on a good face, and we'll make the best of it, and there's not a lot they can do about it. If they're not getting an invitation, can't just force your way in. But ultimately, I worry that they're going to be spending all, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars on a new stadium that isn't going to solve their problems. Yeah, it'll look better. It'll be more fun to go to an Aztecs game, which is great. Get a good atmosphere, get a good crowd, not in a big empty mausoleum in Mission Valley. But if they're not in a power conference, there's no future for
San
Diego State
football. Yeah, there's really not.
Of the other teams.
Yeah, exactly.
In the Mountain West. All right, I know you can't do two football segments in a row.
No.
Let's switch things up a little bit. When we come back,
baseball.
Houston Astros are.
Oh boy!
I'm curious your thoughts because they're wearing it already.
There's some genius pitchers out there. Genius.
Get to that coming up next. Ben Woods, right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Okay, picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.